Blog Talk Radio.
Tuned into Home, Helen, our Ministry of Empowerment. Welcome home. Truly, today is the day that the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. I hear the scripture say, oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. Truly, today is another day that the Lord has made, and we're just going to be glad in it and rejoice in the God of our salvation. I want to know that I'm so glad that you have joined me on today, and we're looking for just another wonderful lesson today in the Lord our God. And I know without a shadow of a doubt that you are going to be tremendously, tremendously blessed on today. So why don't you grab your Bible, come right on in, and make yourself right at home. Truly, the Lord our God is great, and he's greatly to be praised. And I know without a shadow of a doubt that God has a wonderful blessing in store for you on today. I'm going to be talking about a lesson that I am so excited about and always love to talk about, and that is about the preeminence of Christ. And so that's our focus on today, talking about the preeminence of Christ. And I want you to grab your Bible. We're going to be going out of the book of Colossians, chapter number 1, and we're going to look at verses number 12 through verse number 19. And then we're going to look in also chapter number 2, verses 8 through verse number 10. So let us read on that line, Colossians chapter number 1, verses 12 through verse number 19. And it reads on this line, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who have delivered from the power of darkness and has translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sin, who is the image of the invisible God and the first fruit of every creature's. For by him were all things created that were in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominion, principalities or power, all things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead. This in all things he might have preeminence, for it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. Now let's take a look at Colossians chapter number 2, verses number 8 through verse number 10. And it reads on this line, beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy, vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, that ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power. Now let's talk on today in regards to the preeminence of Christ. And let's first of all, let's take a look at the word preeminence. It actually means eminence above others, or excelling other, exceeding or excelling others. Eminent means rising above other things or places, high and lofty, projecting, protruding, or standing high by comparison with others. The superiority in rank, position, character, and achievement and greatness. Now, Jesus is all in all. He is the creator and the savior. And in him, all the fullness of the Godhead dwells. God's plan from the beginning was to personally be involved in his redemption of his creation back unto himself. He had made a covenant with Abraham and confirmed it with an oath. God guaranteed that the completion of our redemption through the priesthood of Jesus Christ And this priesthood was not set in order by men, but God's own decree. He decreed it to be so. And let's take a look at the scripture over in Hebrews chapter number 6 and verse number 16 and 17. It says, "For men verily swear by the greater, an oath for confirmation is to them an end of all strife, wherein God willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of promise the immutability of his counsel, confirmed it by an oath, that by two immutable things which it is impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation who has fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope that is set before us, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, which entereth into that which in the veil, whether the forerunner is for us entered, even Jesus made an high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek." Now, as the creator and the eternal God used the word to form the universe, the invisible Father expressed his image in the flesh of Jesus Christ as the Savior of the human race. When the redemption was not possible through any other sources, God took personal responsibility for the deliverance of his fallen creation. Jesus was not a delegate from a divine committee meeting on a mission of mercy. No, no, no. He was none other than the Lord from glory. And you'll find that over in 1 Corinthians 2 and 8, and also James chapter 2 and verse number 1. And let's take a look at what James said, chapter 2 and verse number 1. Let's take a look at that. It said, "My brethren, know not that the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, will respect a person." Let's look further. "He was the Word made flesh, full of truth and as well as grace." Now, Christ is our Savior, and Christ delivered us. Colossians 1 and 13 said, "Who have delivered us from the power of darkness." Now, Christ has delivered us from the power of darkness, heathen darkness and wickedness. Number two, Christ has saved us from the dominion of Satan, who is the prince of darkness, Ephesians 6 and 12. Number three, Christ has rescued us from the judgment of hell, which is an outer darkness. You'll find that over in Matthew 25 and 30. We must never forget that the call of Jesus Christ forever changed our life. Peter declared that this call brought us out of darkness into the marvelous light. And you'll see that over in 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 9. Now, Apostle Paul states, "Now sin is the sting of death, and sin exercises a power upon the soul through the abuse of the law." And you'll find that over in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 56, and this is the Amplified version. Now, we must recognize also in the same token that the wages of sin is death. Now, there is some ching-ching for that sin. There is going to be a price that may have to be paid if you don't accept the Lord Jesus Christ and what he did on the cross of Calvary of taking on all of the sins of the world. And if we refuse to accept the work of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, then the scripture clearly declare that the wages of sin is death. That's going to be the result of your sin. Now, death could not enter the world until sin first be made in its presence. Now, the sentence of the law released death upon every transgressor and provided no escape for that person or anyone. Now, without the intervention of our Savior, there was no hope for the condemned. Now, the work of Christ has qualified us for deliverance through his own blood. Our freedom from the dominion of darkness have given us the right to the inheritance of the saints of God who walk in the light of Christ's eternal kingdom. Further, Christ, he not only delivered us and redeemed us, but he also has translated us. Now, at one point in time in our life, we were enslaved by darkness, but now through faith in what Christ has done, we are moved from darkness into the kingdom of light. And when a sinner is translated into the kingdom of Christ, they leave behind the kingdom of the devil and darkness. Now, through this translation, the sinner shake off the power of sin as he submit to the power of Christ. Further, the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus make us free from the law of sin and death, Romans 8:2. And it's so profound that we as the children of God, that we can step out of that old man and can step into the new, into the spirit of life in Christ Jesus. And so every day we can reside in that place, in that lofty place, in that wealthy place. And that wealthy place is in the law of life in Christ Jesus, a place where we can live and move and have our being in the spirit of life. That's why we can say, I will bless the Lord at all times, and his praise will continually be in my mouth. It doesn't mean that everything is going well or going favorable at this particular time or that time in my life, but what it does mean is that because I reside in the law of life in Christ Jesus, I can always be at a place of contentment, godly contentment, and I'm going to profit. I'm going to get great gain. Because I reside in a place of contentment in the spirit of the law of life in Christ Jesus, and I can always ascertain and supersede, because the Bible said that I'm more than a conqueror, and you're more than a conqueror. And as you reside in that place, that is a place that you must claim, because it's a God, your God-given right as a born-again child of God, to reside in the spirit of life in Christ Jesus. That's why we can praise God on our worst days, that we can always make a boast in the Lord, and the humble shall hear thereof and be glad, because there's a praise of, oh, magnify the Lord with me, down in our sanctified soul. And so the law of the spirit of life is a place that the children of God reside in, abode in, and can move forward in, because they're residing in the blessed place where God has so ordained for us through his Son, Jesus Christ. Now, darkness is indicated by the lack of truth and righteousness. And we recognize the righteousness is of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. That's why he said, seek ye first the kingdom of heaven and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto us, as we seeking the righteousness of God in that circumstances or situation that you may find yourself in. Begin to say, God, what is your righteousness about this situation? Why? Ask the question, why am I here? I seek your righteousness that is going to come out of the circumstances or out of this situation, because I'm seeking your kingdom. I'm seeking your righteousness. And so where there is a lack of truth and righteousness, there is darkness. But when we find ourselves being challenged, when you find yourself challenged, that's when you can seek out the righteousness of God while you right there in the great, in the heat of the challenge or in the eye of your storm. Seek out the righteousness. God, give me understanding. What is your truth about this matter? And watch God peel back and revelate and give you a greater understanding and a manifestation, an illumination of your mind of what's going on. And then also he will bring in consolation, where he will console your heart and console your mind and spirit, recognizing that God is still yet in control, and that you're going to come out of this circumstance much better than what you was when you went in. Oh, child of God, he's going to do it. He's going to bless you in a mighty and a special way. Now, let's look at another aspect and another depth about the preeminence of Christ. Christ has redeemed us. The scripture said Christ purchased our freedom, redeeming us from the curse or the doom of the law and its condemnation by himself becoming a curse for us, for it is written in the scripture, cursed is everyone who hang on the tree. And you'll find that over in Deuteronomy chapter 21 and verse 23, Galatians 3 and verse 13. Now, the curse of the law was the curse of death. To be redeemed from our sin necessitate an innocent sacrifice. Now, John the Baptist, he presented Christ as the innocent lamb that would take away the sins of the world. You'll find that over in John chapter number 1, verse number 29. Now, further, to be redeemed means to purchase or to buy up. So he has secured and saved us from the punishment that our sins so deserve. Jesus purchased our removal from the jurisdiction of the law. Now, under the law, Jesus was not personally guilty of any sin that could judge him, and he sentenced him to die. The context of Galatians 3:13 show that he became a curse simply by hanging upon the tree. Now, further, the crucifixion was not known in Moses' time. Those guilty of a crime deserving death penalty was stoned or hung from a tree, and the body of the condemned one had to be removed by sundown to remove the curse from the land. Now, in the eye of the law, the simple action of being suspended upon the tree transmitted to him his character or extreme defilement. Now, the curse was the extreme measure of public reproach. Further, added to the shame of the cross was the iniquity of us all that was placed upon them. And you'll find that over in Isaiah 53 and verse number 6. And thanks be unto God that our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, he carried our grief and our sorrows and our sickness and our disease and transgression and iniquity in his body to the cross. And so now you can recognize that even that sickness that you're dealing with or whatever it is that you're dealing with, you got to put it in perspective and begin to claim the victory of the cross of Calvary and stating and even in your heart and mind that I claim the victory of the cross of Calvary that has already been purchased by my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, over 2,000 years ago. At things that he's already purchased, my liberty from sicknesses, from diseases, from grief and sorrow, and from iniquity, and stand in the place of life in Christ Jesus. And watch God move in your life bountifully because you have made a conscious choice to receive all that he has done for you in your life. Amen. He said, there is therefore now no condemnation. That's the scripture come to my spirit, to them that are in Christ Jesus. And so you got to recognize there is no condemnation. Whatever's trying to condemn you, make you feel bad, you got to speak to that situation and that circumstance and begin to say, there's no condemnation. There's therefore none. Condemnation, no condemnation. Amen. And over in Ephesians 1 and 7, it said, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sin according to the riches of his grace. Oh, when you begin to just meditate upon the riches of his grace, that is profound in itself. When we think about the measure of the grace of our Lord and our Savior, that just will blow your mind. Have you ever had an opportunity just to stop and just begin to meditate on or begin to think on all of the riches of his grace? Yes, we enjoy being favored of the Lord, but Lord, the riches of your grace, bring that to our understanding of all of what that truly entails. Even the aspect of your grace that we have not even been illuminated and revelated by with understanding of the depth of the riches of your grace, God. And sometimes we just need to just sit before him and begin to ask him just to reveal unto you how much and what is all of the riches of his grace that is in Christ Jesus, and that he can give us a greater understanding of who he is and what he's done in and through our lives. I know that there's things that are going on. Things are happening all over in everybody's life, everybody's family, things that are happening. And I know the adversary is fighting the children of God. But, you know, we got to put Christ back in perspective that, Lord, you have preeminence over this situation, God. Have preeminence over this circumstances that is going on in my life right now, that you can bring and revelate my mind, that I can get the understanding of your truth in it. What are you trying to get to me or through me, God? And as we begin to talk with him and welcome him in, he's going to make it clear in our minds and clear in our spirit. Now, the sinless blood of Jesus Christ was the payment in full for our debt. Oh, it is finished. It's already been paid for. We are not redeemed with silver and gold, but with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Over in 1 Peter and 19 will give you a greater understanding of the word of the Lord. It was God in Christ reconciling and restoring the world to favor with himself, not counting up and holding against us our transgression, but canceling them out, committing to us the message of reconciliation or the restoration of favor back unto man. Oh, my God, he's restoring favor back unto man and mankind, back unto the favor that he has towards them. All you have to do is say yes to the Lord and receive all that he's doing in and through your life. Now, let's look further, because Christ has forgiven us. Through the work of Jesus Christ, we have been freely forgiven while we were still sinners. We have been fully forgiven of every violation. When I begin to think about that, every violation he has forgiven you of, every violation. Just think about it, from the beginning to where you at right now, every violation God said, I've forgiven you. And that is so profound. And we have been generously forgiven of any and many of our transgressions. Moreover, we have been continuously forgiven as we confess and forsake our sins. So whenever God brings something to your mind, child of God, you feel the conviction or feel the reproof or feel the rebuke and things, that is a time for us to forsake our sin, ask God to forgive us, turn away from that behavior, turn away from that lifestyle, turn away from those things, and watch God forgive you and cleanse you of all unrighteousness, because you dared to turn to him and turn your heart back to him. Jesus sent a powerful message about forgiveness to his disciple in the model prayer known as the Lord Prayer. And he said, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Matthew 6 and verse number 12. And in the same measure that we have been forgiven, we are now obligated to forgive others, because we are constantly in need of God's forgiveness, and we cannot neglect our duty to forgive others. God bless me to write a book about forgiveness, staying in a healthy place, staying in a fresh place, staying in a clean place, and a place where God has so graciously blessed us as the children of God and things through the power of forgiveness and forgiving others of their debts and transgression. Let them go. Let him go. Let her go. Let that stuff go and just walk in the fullness and the newness of life, and let God bless you and things, so that when you see that same one that offended you or did whatever you did against you, that you can look them in the eyes with a pure heart, pure mind, have no aught in your heart, a grudge in your spirit against them for what they have done, because you have ran back and you forgiven them, and you offer forgiveness and mercy back unto them, and you can be a clean, pure vessel standing before the Lord our God, because you've chosen to forgive. Oh, it's power in that forgiveness. I tell you, child of God, the more you exercise forgiveness, the more liberty you're going to find in your own spirit, in your own heart, in your own mind. God is going to do it on your behalf. Now, let us look further in things that said. When we remember the debts of sin from which we have been released, there is no danger of us our carrying forgiveness too far with the offenses of others. The measure of forgiveness from God is directly related to your forgiveness of others. How can we expect mercy from God if we are unwilling to give mercy unto others? We owe a debt we could not pay. He paid a debt that he did not owe so that we could go free. He didn't owe that debt. It wasn't his debt. But he paid it on our behalf. And so, child of God, as we begin to just think about the preeminence of Christ and begin to put him back into the place where he is so rightfully desiring to be in our life, in the center of our relationship, in the center of our circumstances, in the center of our life, whether we're on the mountaintop or whether we're in the valley, as giving him his rightful place of abiding in and through our lives. And you're going to watch him bless you in a mighty and a special way because you dare to put him and give him the preeminence in your life. Oh, child of God, it's an awesome thing. It's a wonderful thing to allow Christ to have preeminence in your life. And so I pray on today that this first part and lesson of the preeminence of Christ, as we talked about Christ being our the Savior and how he delivered us and how that he also translated us, redeemed us, and how that he has forgiven us. We're going to look at another aspect of that at our next show as we're going to talk further about the preeminence of Christ in our lives as the children of God. I guarantee if you put him back in that spot in your life, I guarantee your life will be so blessed, child of God. Jesus loves you. Oh, yes, he does. He died for you. Yes, he did. He's here for you. All you have to do is just open up your heart and open up your mind and receive him as your Lord and Savior as you place him back in the center of your life and as the head of your life. Even as he is the head of the church, he wants to be the head of your life, child of God. Let me pray with you. Gracious Father, we come humbly to the throne of God, thanking you for your goodness, your mercy, and your grace, giving you all the praise, glory, and honor that's due unto your name. We say, Father, get the preeminence, and we place you back to have the preeminence in our lives, in our mind, in the heart of your people, God. And, Father, we'll praise your blessed name, recognizing that you got all power in your hand. And, God, you can do all things but fail. And, Father, we say, Father, have thine own way in and through our life. And, Father, we'll praise you, give you glory and honor and praise that is due unto your wonderful name. And, Father, we thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. Take preeminence and have preeminence, O Lord, in our lives, our children, in our children's children, our marriages, our home, workplace, God. Father, every aspect of our lives, we give the preeminence back to you, and we say you get the glory and you get the honor, O Lord. And, Father, we thank you. In Jesus' wonderful name we pray, amen and amen. I thank God that you prayed with me on that prayer today. I know God is going to bless you in a mighty and a special way. Continue to allow him to have the preeminence in your life and draw nigh unto him. Stay up under the blood and stay close to the name and invoke that name and watch God bless you in a mighty and a special way. Bring your children up under the blood, your whole household, and watch God keep you. He spoke to our hearts a prophetic word. He said, tell my people to stay up under the blood and stay up under cover. And he will provide. He will open doors. He will make ways out of no ways for his children because we've chosen to reside in the prepared place that he's already prepared for the people of God. No weapon formed against you, child of God, will ever prosper. And I command you to look up and live. No matter what you're going through, it's not greater than your God. Father, we thank you, O God, for this wonderful lesson. in Jesus' wonderful name. And so, child of God, as I always would say, if you don't have it, God got it. And you're just one question away from your miracle. All you need to do is continue to ask, and it shall be given. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and the door shall be open unto you, according to Matthew 7:7. May the blessings of the Lord continue to make you rich. I pray that no sorrow blessing will come to your house on this day. Until we meet again, may the blessings be with you in Jesus' wonderful name. Bye-bye.